Want to virtualize your biggest workloads? Bring the performance of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
And welcome to the first of a series of discussions that we're calling Building Clouds, where we discuss building hybrid clouds that can support any device, anywhere. Now, that last phrase I just said is actually the subtitle of the Building Clouds blog. It's a blog dedicated to resources and information about cloud computing from Microsoft. So, good plug for a great blog, and we'll be talking more about that later in today's show. My name is Kevin Remde, and I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. Developer and Platform Evangelism team at Microsoft, and I'm your TechNet radio host today. Now, today I'm very fortunate to be speaking with a gentleman that I'm going to be referring to by his online name, Migration Mark. Mark, welcome.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and what your focus is at Microsoft. Now, I'm going to take a shot in the dark, Migration Mark, and guess that your efforts have something to do with migration.
They certainly have in the last few years. So I work in the Windows Server System Center Engineering Group on what we call a CAT team, which is a Customer Architecture and Technology team. And my focus for the last 2 years has actually been helping people migrate from VMware to Hyper-V. Before that, I was entrenched in the world of automation, specifically around System Center Orchestrator and Runbooks, and Opalis before that.
All right. Opalis, of course, being what became Orchestrator, I believe. Is that right?
Correct. Yep, exactly right.
Okay. So now, I know that this next question I'm going to ask you could probably begin a whole other set of interviews, so I'm going to ask it anyway. Could you briefly summarize the benefits of migrating to a Microsoft-based cloud solution?
Sure, yeah. I think you're right. That's a whole other interview. But if we just kind of distill this down to the basics, what we hear over and over again is control over services. So customers like Palo Windows, the other window manufacturer, I guess, around, they were looking for more granularity and insight into their workloads and kind of the services they deliver. So, you know, that's something that we were able to bring to the table. A lot of times we also hear about increased reliability, increased performance. Those are two things that we heard from Domino's, and we talk about those at a couple of public shows where Brad gets up and talks pizza. So we've definitely seen that. Flexibility around deployment, too, is another one that we get. And of course, ultimately, everybody talks about cost, and there's no getting around that. I think that factors into everyone's calculations. But companies like Acer, you know, they save $600,000 a year when they move their Taiwan data center, and they're expecting to do five times that as they roll out the service of the rest of their data center. So, you know, cost is certainly first on everyone's mind, but there are a lot of other reasons that that people are moving over to Microsoft-based cloud solutions.
Yeah, and as you said, certainly the flexibility and the benefits of that dynamic data center environment, and then being able to extend it, a lot of those costs are really need to be taken into account. The flexibility, the increased productivity, the footprint of your data center, the number of personnel it takes to maintain the resources that you have. These are all things, of course, that contribute to that cost savings. So, now, you're a migration guy, and I have to assume that as one of our biggest competitors, VMware, also likes people to use their products in their data centers, one of our hopes is that people will at least evaluate and investigate Hyper-V and in fact eventually migrate to Hyper-V as their base virtualization platform, their base hypervisor for their cloud solution. What's involved then in taking a virtual machine running on VMware and moving it over to Hyper-V?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I focus on in building clouds, which is, and it's kind of funny because I'm always asking if I can rename my section Stealing Clouds, because it's really what I'm all about, is taking a cloud that kind of already exists and let's move it to a better platform. So what's involved in that is, really what it boils down to is switching that disk from a VMDK over to a VHD. Ultimately, that's the difficulty. And there's a bunch of things that have to happen in there around fixing up disk geometry, making sure the master boot record gets where it's supposed to be. And these are all things that the average user is never going to be exposed to, because every tool that we're going to talk about does that for you. So that's the hard part, is making that, into a format that we can read and boot off of. But that's really just the beginning. Then there's a whole bunch of other things that need to happen. So obviously we need a container, a VM container to put that in. So once the disk's mounted there, we need to set up memory and CPU and all that. And then there's a couple of other ancillary things that we try to do to make life a little better, like removal of VMware tools. And like you said, VMware tools, or VMware in general, they're big proponents of their own technology, and removing their tools, which is effectively their client or their agent that lets the guest talk to the host and to the host management stuff, that doesn't uninstall. There's no function anywhere in their UI to say uninstall. You can install, you can click 100 machines install, you can upgrade them, but there's no uninstall. So we have to kind of dig around for the best ways to uninstall that and make sure that we get that uninstalled, because that's not something you want running when it boots up on Hyper-V, because the two tools will tend to conflict with one another, and the tools really don't want to remove when they're not on their own hypervisor anymore. Yeah. So getting that sort of thing out of the way.
In addition, I assume then the next piece of that would be then adding our integration components into the virtual machine.
Right, yeah, for some of the older OSs, that's true. I mean, the newer ones, integration services will kind of kick in on their own, but yeah, prepping them for integration is one of the things that we do. And then kind of beyond that, the last phase would be any of the other network stuff. So I want to make sure that if it had six NICs before, it still has six NICs now, and that they're pointed at the same places.
Yeah, that is, you're right. A virtual machine is not just a hard disk, and there's a lot of free tools out there that'll do a conversion of disk formats. But when you talk about that configuration, and as you said, the pieces that are in the operating system that we need to detect, that we need to address, that we need to configure in the way of networking, these are all important things.
Yep, exactly right.
Okay. Now, you talked about conversion, really. I mean, it's not even just migration. So what is the difference between a conversion and a migration?
So in a lexicon that I used and invented myself, but I use it on the web, so I try to stay consistent, the difference is scale. So when you take one machine and move it from VMware to Hyper-V, that's a conversion. When you want to take the entire data center or the cloud and move it, that's a migration. So we migrate data centers or clouds, we convert VMs. And so all the things that go around, you know, a migration would be the layers of management and, you know, queuing controls and all the other things that are appropriate given the whichever engine we select.
Okay, so yeah, when you talk about many virtual machines and the whole configuration, I mean, what you're ultimately talking about is an application, because an application has potentially and very likely many virtual machines involved and many different pieces of the configuration. So we're actually doing that migration of an entire set of machines at one go.
Depending on which tool we talk about and how we define one go. I mean, if there's 1,000 machines, that's probably not something we're going to do in one slice. But the tools are there to do things in mass.
So people sometimes talk about cold conversions. Are there warm and hot conversions as well?
So there's actually only two temperatures of conversions, cold and warm, at least for the foreseeable future. So when we talk cold conversions, at least in the parlance most people are familiar with, that's a conversion that's going to happen to a virtual machine while it's down. So the machine will be offline, and hence the coldness of that. So that's most of the technologies that are out there will provide cold conversions. It's certainly the easiest way to do that. A warm conversion is one in which essentially there's only a reboot that's required. So while the machine is up and running, there's a streaming element that's going to take the bits from one OS, copy them out to, you know, a mirror OS on the other alternate hypervisor, and then kind of once everything's caught up, we can shut down the source, boot up the other side, and that's as kind of as warm as it's going to get. The idea of hot swapping VMs, and we do get this question every now and then on the forums, is, you know, why can't I just live migrate or vMotion from VMware to Hyper-V? And I don't think we're ever going to be in a world where we cooperate quite that well that we can hand off memory and CPU processes across hypervisors. So I think warm and cold is good as it's going to get for a while.
Okay, so that, yes, that would be amazing, but ultimately that would require us to be one company, which not anytime soon. So we have a lot of tools to help with this. What tools does Microsoft specifically have to provide moving these workloads from VMware vSphere to the Hyper-V virtualization?
Yeah, so there's a couple, and the first one I'd mention is actually the Microsoft Assessment and Planning Toolkit, the MAP, which a lot of people have actually heard of, but not everybody thinks of it in terms of workload migration. And it actually doesn't do migration in itself, but it's an awesome tool to have. I think it's 8.5 is the current version of that. And aside from all of the other assessment and planning things that it does, it actually will go out and collect information about your VMware environment and prepare you for migration. So it'll go collect inventory data, scan your vSphere environment, and then what it does is it creates a report that you can look at and kind of figure out, okay, these are the machines I have that are easily convertible using, well, in this case, MVMC, which we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, it'll show you which ones aren't going to be supported. So like a Linux VM that we don't have an appropriate mechanism to convert with at this point, that'll be marked. And so it gives you as a planning step, it's a really helpful thing to see. What's my environment look like? What can I move? What can't I move? And kind of also things that I might need to adjust. So if there's things that the VM would be supported if I did the following, it'll give you that information as well.
Okay. All right. So that's great. And I got to ask you, what does that map tool cost?
The map tool is free.
All right. Good,
yeah.
Good.
And it has many other awesome features. I mean, that's just one of like 15 tabs that are out there, and the map toolkit's been around for years. So it does, everything from standard upgrading from one OS to another to figuring out how many instances of Office are running. And it's a very full featured and rich tool, but we're looking at it just for one particular purpose, and we're glad that it does that at least.
So what other tools do we have then to actually perform that migration? You mentioned MVMC. What is that?
Yeah, so MVMC, well, let me back up and start with VMM. So from there, we're going to kind of segue into a couple other things. But yeah, so VMM is probably the one it's the one that we've had for the longest. So it was out there first, and it's Virtual Machine Manager's V2V component. It's a commandlet or a UI function that you can call. And it's wizard-driven in the UI. It's quite easy to use. If you point at your VMware infrastructure, or if you just copy the disk locally, you can see that it's there. It pulls all the information up about, how much memory it had, how many network cards and all that, and will configure a VM for you on the other end. And like everything else in VMM, everything's driven through PowerShell, which is awesome, but it's also got a UI layer. So if you're not familiar with PowerShell, you don't need to know it. But if you are, you can always hit the View Script button at the end, and what you'll see is the new V2V commandlet and all the things that populate it. So it's a really easy way to do things, but it also gives you a very easy avenue to make things more complicated, more powerful by taking that script and modifying it and using it and expounding on it from there. You can also orchestrate it using System Center Orchestrator and creating runbooks that populate the variables that the V2V script would need as well. So
So in that case, yeah, you could actually do many machines and just have it scripted or somehow automate the process. Okay.
And we've got a couple of partners who've done just that. They've taken Orchestrator, and some of them actually put them online for customer, for their customers to use, and just grab the runbook and pull it out. I guess the downside of that, of course, is that you need to be a System Center customer in order to take advantage of it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. For those people that aren't familiar with that, System Center is a product from Microsoft. So this, now we're not talking about a free product, but Virtual Machine Manager is one of those components, and Orchestrator is another that are all part of System Center. And Virtual Machine Manager, of course, having the ability to manage virtualization, storage, and networking for not just Hyper-V, but also managing VMware and Citrix virtualization as well.
Yeah, but I just like to mention it because it's been out there the longest, and it's probably the one most people are familiar with if they've been around or have looked up migration or conversion in the last couple of years. It does have a couple limitations. It doesn't handle VMware tools removal, so that's something that you have to work out with your orchestration in advance. Doesn't remove removable media, some things like that. But it's kind of the granddaddy that's out there, and it's been used. It's proven technology.
All right.
But since then, we've come up with a couple of other things.
Great, yeah. What are some of the newer tools?
So the MVMC, which is the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, and that's been in market now for, about 18 months, I guess. So it's kind of new, and it's still in version 1. And this is another free tool, so it's completely standalone EXE. You download it and run it. It provides a GUI, and you give it some creds and say, hey, I want to connect to this particular vCenter server. And what it does is it'll go out and inspect that environment and produce basically a pick list of all the VMs that are convertible, right, that are valid for conversion. So the ones that weren't supported or whatever will just be grayed out. So from there, you click the one you want, You tell it what Hyper-V server you want it to land on, and maybe answer a couple other questions, and then click next and kind of sit back and watch. So it's super easy to use. It's designed for people who, you know, aren't scripters or aren't familiar with PowerShell or System Center, and it runs extremely well. It does do VMware tools removal, which is a nice function. And it also supports offline disk conversion. So if you wanted to just migrate some disks, it has the ability to do that.
And that might be good for disks that you may be using just for storage for the sake of other virtual machines. Maybe you want to do that conversion at a later point and attach them. A lot of flexibility there. That sounds great.
But it has a couple of shortcomings. So one of them is that because it's UI driven, you pick a machine, you convert it, and then when you're done, you pick another machine. So it's kind of one at a time, and it doesn't provide any sort of ability to queue up things. So people see that as something of a liability if they have to move 1,000 VMs. What it does, though, is it provides a CLI, so an actual EXE. Okay. No PowerShell interfaces, at least not in that version. Hopefully in the next version we'll get some PowerShell. But it gives us that EXE.
Yeah, having that command line option, that does mean we can do some scripting against that if we want to. Because if I assume it takes parameters and can actually do then in a script multiple conversions one after another.
Yeah, it takes a whole lot of parameters as it turns out. We have to tell it quite a bit about what we want to do.
I would imagine.
So that's
yeah.
kind of where we started thinking. Customer feedback was, hey, you know, this is nice, but I want to be able to fire off lots of these. And yeah, it's a big command line, and I could probably create a couple of those, but I want a more holistic solution. And that's kind of where the MAT was born. And the MAT is the Migration Automation Toolkit. So the MAT is kind of a family of things at this point. It started out as just one thing to automate MVMC, but actually it does a few others now. And what it is essentially it's a management framework that we lay out on top of migrations. And the underlying conversion engine we swap out depending on what's appropriate. So generally speaking, we talk about MAT with MVMC. And that's where we started. So what we wanted to do was take that CLI and, you know, be able to, like you said, push a bunch of data at it over and over again. The CLI is a little limited, and it doesn't provide a lot of output. So one of the things that we did was worked with the team that created MVMC and kind of got all their error codes and all of their logging codes, and we started to create a wrapper around that using PowerShell. So what we do is we call the EXE with PowerShell, and then we kick off a process that monitors its output and its log files and tries to scrape that back out and provide something meaningful and kind of English-based to the end user so they can see what exactly 1644 means or whatever, right? So, oh, we're at stage two. Great. That's much more helpful. And so that's kind of where Matt started, and then we kind of kept expounding on that and tried to add more and more management. So one of the things that we know is that a data center migration or a cloud migration isn't going to happen in a night, right? It generally takes weeks or sometimes months, depending on how many VMs we're talking about. So we backended it with SQL Express. So our PowerShell scripts basically persist data out to SQL. And we also have to provide the VMware data collection. So when you start out, you say, hey, Matt, can you go out and run a collection against my VMware environment? Provide me a big list, and it'll store that in SQL so that it's always there down the road. And then from there, you start picking out the VMs that you want to convert in groups. So let's say 20 at a time. You can grab those and then force them all into the engine. And the engine will run simultaneously multiple conversions concurrently. We max it at 3 for performance reasons because we don't really see any improvements after 3. But we can fire 3 off at a time, so we're getting more throughput than we would through the UI just based on that. And the other thing that the MAT provides is the ability to run more than one server running MAT. So when I demoed this at TechEd, we had 3 servers each running 3 VMs. So we were doing 9 simultaneous conversions, in the time it would take normally to do one. So there's an awesome scaling factor there because we can just, you know, keep moving that outwards.
And you can control that process all from one console?
Yes, it's all controlled from one console, and you can view it from anywhere, because again, as long as you've got access to that SQL, the PowerShell will go and pull up and kind of refresh every 10 or 15 seconds to show you where everybody is in their stage and how things are going. And so, it's nice in that there's kind of no UI there. It was actually one of the things that we were asked to do at the beginning was to not make this complicated. So what you do is, using PowerShell, you send a command in and say, all right, go get my VMs. It'll spit them out to a notepad file, and you just kind of truncate that down or rearrange it in whatever order you actually want them to be converted in, and then resubmit that back to the engine as this is job one or job two or whatever. So once that's in there, it kicks off. There's also a real simple kind of DOS-based menu sort of thing if you wanted to run with a menu, but it's really designed to just fire off little, PowerShell commands at it. And the beauty of that is it's not compiled code, so when people go out and download this, if they don't like the way we've done it, they can change it. If they want to enhance it, they're allowed to do that.
Oh, okay. So this is another free tool?
This is a free tool as well, and this is the one that's available. Well, it's in TechNet Galleries, but we blog about it a lot on Building Clouds.
Fantastic. And now there's another one that you also mentioned. There's Matt, and then there's also Matt that you say is powered by Project Shift. What is that?
Right. So Project Shift is probably something that most people haven't run into. And Project Shift is a project from NetApp, so the storage vendor. And what NetApp did was they came up with a couple of PowerShell commandlets in their ONTAP, data ONTAP system. And one of them, we saw this maybe a year or so ago, was a commandlet called convert to VHDX. And they have a couple others. There's convert to VHD. There's actually convert to VMDK. And the idea behind Shift from their perspective was we can just take this using some of the magic that they have in their WAFL file system to essentially flip the disks between formats without altering the underlying data, which is really mind-boggling.
Wow.
So they've got this layer of metadata that sits on top of the actual data, and so by controlling that metadata, they can alter what the hypervisor sees as that disk being in one format or in the other without the underlying bits having to change. So we looked at that at the time, and I said, well, that's really neat. We didn't understand how we would use it at that point because it was just flipping the disk, right? There's so much more to do. But as time went on, we were like, well, wait a minute. Matt does all the things that Shift is kind of lacking. So it was kind of a Reese's peanut butter cup moment there where, hey, our chocolate and your peanut butter will make some really nice stuff if we put them together. And so we actually did spend some time with NetApp, and we put together a version of Matt that's powered by Project Shift. So Shift is the engine. And what's really incredible about that engine is because they're not altering the underlying data, they can convert between formats at incredible speeds. So they can take a half a terabyte disk and convert it in seconds. It's really incredible because they're really just rewriting the master boot record and some of the pointers. They're not having to touch the bits. And what that means is we end up with a cold conversion technology that's almost as fast as a warm conversion.
That's incredible. Now, I assume that does require something from NetApp in order to make that happen.
Right, and then that's kind of the downside, is that you do need a NetApp controller that's running data on tap 8.2 or later. But from what we understand, a majority of VMware customers are actually NetApp customers as well. So there's a good chance that they may already have one of these controllers, which would make life a lot easier for everybody if they decide to implement the power of Shift.
Wow, well, that's great and good to know. Now, I have to imagine there's tools outside of Microsoft also that can help with this. What are some of those?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few of them. I mean, when we started down this path about 2 years ago, there weren't any. There were literally none. I mean, VMware had one to get from Hyper-V over to VMware and lots of other formats, but there was nothing else out there. But since then, the market's really seen the demand to test out Hyper-V. And so, I mean, Quest has one, Five9, Starwind. But what we get the most interest and questions around is a product by Vision Solutions called DoubleTake Move. And that technology has been around for quite a long time, but they recently decided to apply it towards migration. Before that, it was just kind of a backup technology.
Right, right.
And what it is a warm migration technology where you install a file system driver, right, filter driver that's going to spit the bits out across the wire. So you have the source disk on one side, or the source VM, and then basically a shell or a husk VM on the other side. And it's because there's an agent installed, it just starts moving data over gradually while the VM's running, and as long as that takes. But eventually you'll get a synchronized copy on the far end. And once those two copies are essentially in sync, we shut down the source, let whatever final you know, drive writes get written out, sent across the wire. Once everything's quiesced, we can turn on the remote side, and we have a converted VM at that point without having to have any, you know, other than a reboot, no real downtime. So it's certainly certainly advantageous in a lot of situations for that reason alone. Of course, there is a cost associated with it, but rightly so. It's, you know, it's their product.
Yeah, sounds good. So are there options for customers that want to move workloads from VMware directly into Azure? I know Azure, of course, being our cloud, public cloud solution, running under the hood, running Windows Server 2012, running Hyper-V. How can we move directly from VMware into Azure?
So at this point, there's kind of two options, one of them being double take move. So that's the real beauty of that solution is that Husk VM can be up in Azure, and so you can go directly to Azure without any downtime at all, which is awesome. The other alternative would be to use Mat, and the Mat, kind of whichever one you, whatever flavor of Mat you choose to implement, it leaves you with a VHD on Hyper-V, and from there, it's not very complicated to send it to Azure. It's actually just a couple more lines of PowerShell that we would use. First, we'd upload that disk into blob storage. Once it's there, we create a container to store the VM, mount that new disk to the container, supply, you know, the few variables around network configuration and CPU memory, that sort of stuff, and then boot it up. So that's another way to do it that's free. The kind of the downside with that is it's another copy while you're offline, and however long it takes you to get your VM up to Azure, you know, that could take a considerable amount of time depending on how big that disk is. So right. There's maybe some performance penalties there for being offline, but if the customer is willing to tolerate that, yeah, it's a nice free way to get straight from VMware into to Azure.
Oh, okay. Now, I know, of course, a lot of companies, many, are quite heavily invested in VMware for their data center virtualization. Is it really realistic to think that these companies are going to migrate large numbers of machines over and just replace VMware with Hyper-V in their data center?
I mean, in some situations, we actually have seen that, depending on where they kind of are as a company and where they are with their licensing agreements maybe being renewed. We have had a lot of pushes to actually move entire data centers, and some of the ones that I talked about, like Pella and Domino's, you know, they actually did that. They wanted to move in mass over, and those are the tools that we've been trying to develop. So if you're just trying to kick the tires, you know, you can use MVMC, move a couple VMs over, see how well that works. But if you're trying to move 100 or 1,000 VMs, then, you know, you really want the management that we provide there. So there, it's never been easier to do that. And I think, you know, in the last 6 months, we've really made a lot of strides, and we've really understood from the customer's perspective the need to go there more than just, you know, kicking the tires, which is great for us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, our assumption, and I think it's been proven true, once people do start using Hyper-V, start understanding its value and the kind of scale and performance that you can get from it, and, of course, the price point is always very good, people are going to start moving en masse and moving off of the VMware into the Hyper-V world. So that's all good for Microsoft. So that's all the time we really have today. Mark, it's been a really great talking to you. Before we close, though, where do we send our viewers for more details on Mat and some of the other tools that you've talked about today?
So the easiest place to reference would be the Building Clouds blog, which is aka.ms/buildingclouds. And that's really a great place to start. There's we break our data up into tracks there, so I'm certainly not the only person creating blog there. We have, I think there's at least 12 now, different tracks that are out there. So we've got everything from automation, application management, deployment, disaster recovery, kind of the list goes on. So anything that you might be interested in from our team, that's all stuff that the CAT team has created around seeing problems that customers are having with either products that are out there or you know, technological challenges, like I want to be able to migrate. And we provided different tools to do that. Another really popular one, which I'm sure you'll have on your program before long, will be the PDT, which is the PowerShell Deployment Toolkit, which will deploy all of System Center in about an hour using PowerShell, which is phenomenal.
Wow. Wow, yeah, I do have to look into that one for my own use as well, but certainly I know our viewers would love to hear more about that. PowerShell Deployment Toolkit, excellent. Now, do you have a Twitter handle that we can point people to that they can follow you?
Yep, it's @migration_mark.
@migration_mark. All right. Well, again, Mark, Migration Mark, thank you so much for your time today.
Yep, thank you, Kevin.
And we'll see you all again soon for another edition of Building Clouds.